Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Bard Summerscape 2012 presents 7 weeks of opera, music, theater, dance, films, and cabaret. This Friday, their production of Molière's hilarious comedy of manners, The Imaginary Invalid, opens on Stage 2 of the Richard B. Fisher Center for the Performing Arts. The play premiered in 1673. In it, wealthy hypochondriac Argon wants his daughter to marry a doctor's son so that he'll have doctors in the family and around at all times to treat his assorted and artificial ailments. The daughter is, of course, in love with someone else, and as Argon is wealthy, it is difficult for him to know who in his life cares for him, and who cares for him for his money. Molière's play targets both hypochondriacs and the money-grubbing medics who exploit them. The production is directed by Erica Schmidt, whose numerous honors include Princess Grace, Lucille Ortel, Outer Critics, Drama Desk, and Obie Awards. Previously at Bard Summerscape, she's directed The Tender Land, The Sorcerer, and Uncle Vanya. As the imaginary invalid himself, Bard's all-male cast stars Broadway and off-Broadway actor Ethan Phillips, who on television played Neelix for 7 seasons on Star Trek Voyager, and Pete Downey on Benson. Erica Schmidt directs her husband, Golden Globe and Emmy Award-winning actor Peter Dinklage, in the role of Argon's maid, Toinette. Dinklage appeared previously at Bard Summerscape in their 2008 production of Uncle Vanya. His film credits include Living in Oblivion and The Station Agent, and he stars as Tyrion Lannister on the HBO series Game of Thrones. I spoke with Erica Schmidt, Ethan Phillips, and Peter Dinklage backstage at the Fisher Center yesterday. Erica, Ethan, Peter, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hello.
Thank you.
Erica, I'm going to start by asking you, you've been here at Bard before. What do you like about working at Summerscape?
I love the space. I think it's an amazing theater. I work in the smaller theater, and it's a black box space, and it's one of the few that I've worked in where the theater, the stage space, is actually bigger than the audience, and it's really flexible, and I find that really exciting. And I love the festival. It's really nice up here in Annandale on Hudson.
When you work with Summerscape, how do you get approached to direct something? How is the project that you're going to work on chosen?
The first time I worked here, I did The Tender Land by Copland, and I interviewed with Susanna Meyer for the job and got in, did the opera. And then the next time I worked here, Susanna asked me which Gilbert and Sullivan I'd like to do, and I chose The Sorcerer. And then the next year, they were doing a Russian festival, and so I asked if they would be interested in doing an Uncle Vanya, which Peter and I had wanted to do together for quite some time. And they said yes. And then this time, it just had to be French. And then we ended up at Molière. So,
have you directed a Molière before?
No, never. It's my first time.
And it's an all-male cast. Why an all-male cast?
Well, I had read that Molière, when he wrote women who were supposed to be over 40, the women in his company were very reticent to play those roles. They didn't want to do that. So he had a man play all of the over 40 female parts. And when I read the play, I felt like the three female characters are sort of archetypal. And there's a little bit of a burden for the young girl to be beautiful and the young wife to be evil and the young maid to be sassy. And I just felt like it lifted the whole piece to have men play those roles. It kind of changed what the archetype is. And I thought, my theory was that it would make it funnier to kind of have that extra layer or extra level, that sort of meta comment on it. So with like a little bit of permission from Molière and then a lot of hope, I thought, what if we did an all-male company? And I think it does. It makes it different. Hopefully funnier, I think.
I think it's going to be great. And I know that my opinion matters a lot to you. Ethan, you're playing the title character. Tell us, have you done Molière before?
Yeah, this is actually my fourth Molière in my long career. I did a compilation of many short sketches called Sconnerelle. And then I did The Miser and The Bourgeois Gentleman. But I always done the verse version. This is the first version I've done that is not rhyming. And it's very modern and very... I can really relate to the dude. He's, I think, obsessive compulsive. The mm-hmm. character, his obsession is that he's going to die, and his compulsion is to have doctors around, and that relieves his anxiety. You know, Eric has really, I think, directed it like Pinter almost. it's you know, she's gone for the, always the grounding and the reality of it, and taking away the burden of being funny, which is a wonderful thing to feel, that you don't have to worry about that. And but that's not to say I hope it'll be poundingly funny, you know, and we'll see. But it's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure.
How did you come to the project? How do you get in a show here at Bard with working with these guys?
My agent sent me up on an audition. That's how I get every job, you know. I originally was set to do Game of Thrones, the lead in that. And then at the last minute, they didn't submit me for it. So,
you know, there's a lot of arguing about who the lead in Game of Thrones is. So you were going to play Arya, you mean?
Yeah, I was going to play Kristen Chenoweth with the guy from the chain. Comes with Snide Boy. That guy, with the thing.
Peter, you're playing a female character, written as a female character in this production of The Imaginary Invalid. Have you ever done drag before? Have you ever played a woman before or a man in drag before?
Not on stage. In the privacy of my own boudoir. No.
That's very, very honest of you and forthcoming. I appreciate that.
I did actually a production of Genet's The Maids years ago, many years ago, which was sort of at a theater where we did a sort of a midnight showing of it, which was fun. I shaved my legs and all. I'm very covered up in this show, so there was the moment where I didn't have to shave my legs this time, so I opted not to. Okay. It's fun. I wanted to come up to Bard and wear a dress all summer. It was it's good, and any opportunity to work with Erica Schmidt, I will jump at the chance.
You have worked with her before. Did you guys meet working in theater, or did you meet?
No, we met. We've actually only worked together. This is the second time we've worked together.
And the other time was also here at Bard.
Yeah, Bard brings us together. No, we met many years ago, just socially.
Well, how long is the rehearsal process up here?
4 weeks.
Is that enough?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. It's actually quite long for a 10 show run. Yeah.
And once you get it up, is 10 shows enough, or do you wish you had more? Does that feel?
Yeah, you do know what, I mean, you know what it is going into, but I felt with Vanya it was really, really way too short. We wanted a lot more. So it'll be interesting to see how we feel at the end of this one. If we want more, or if we're satisfied when it feels completed.
And Ethan, you have, as you know, a fair amount of fame from Star Trek. Do your Star Trek fans follow you to the theater?
Yeah, sometimes. I think that if they're in the town or something, they'll come. But I don't know. But after a show, if I'm in New York, people will come up with a picture of my character and ask me to sign it, so I know that they came because they were a fan of the show.
And do you prefer theater to doing television or film?
I think both of them are equally difficult and challenging in different ways. I think to quote Peter Brook, that it is more difficult to act truthfully, loudly, than it is quietly. And theater is a lot more scary to me, which is what makes me want to do it, because mm-hmm. I feel I should face stuff that makes me feel afraid, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
It's extraordinarily rewarding in a different way. And, I'm just grateful that I continue to get paid to pretend. It's like I did when I was playing Cowboys and Indians. It stuns me to this day.
And Peter, you of course are working hard on Game of Thrones when you're working on it, and you could have maybe just taken the hiatus to rest, but wanted to get on stage and work with Erica and do a play. What about acting on stage makes you want to not vacation during your vacation, but keep working?
It keeps you on your toes a bit more. It keeps you, the engines going. There's a lot of downtime when you're shooting a show like Game of Thrones. You know, it's a big ensemble piece, and I have a lot of time off. So this one, it's sort of from the first day to the last show, it's go, go, go. And like Ethan was talking about, there's a set of nerves that come into it that are really, the older I get, I think as them very much more positively than I used to. So that sort of that energy, that boost, that high, for lack of a better word, that you get from it, that you don't often get when you're doing the camera work stuff, because you can stop and do it over and all of that. You can't do that in theater, obviously. So it's a bit more nervous making, but in a good way.
The Imaginary Invalid is written with musical
interludes, and sometimes they're performed and sometimes they aren't done? Are you doing the musical interludes in this production?
Well, we do have music. It's written as a comedy ballet, which is, you know, why it's not one of the verse plays, it's one of the comedy ballets. And no, we're not doing the pageants with the shepherds and the zephyrs and the fawns and the sheep, but we do have music.
Why not the pageants with the shepherds and the fawns?
Well, I feel that they're not to do with the plot of the imaginary invalid. And from what I've read, I think he put them in because he wanted to kind of lift the spirit. And even the character that Ethan plays watches one of them at one point. And so I kind of took that as a permission to add music and to hopefully enliven the spirit and make people laugh, but without having, you know, sort of giant ballet moments that I think now that we have musical comedy, that's the form that he was working towards, which he just hadn't quite had the idea to marry the plot of the narrative with the music.
Why do you think Molière's writing remains so relevant? His comedies of manners are still applicable and in touch, and people still laugh at them. Why do you think that is?
In the case of this play, I think that what he's satirizing, you know, medicine and a man who's obsessed with his own state of health and is paralyzed by the fear of dying, I think that's incredibly universal and relevant. And, you know, people farting has always been funny. I think it will always be funny. So there's a, you know, it's classic. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, it's sort of the most educated person in the room falling flat on their face. Is that, you know, it's just fun at the end of the day. And especially in terms of this play, the sort of taking medicine and big medicine, bigger, like what now we have, like these big medical corporations and these drug companies, everything. And I think in Molière's time, this is what he's sort of satirizing and pointing the finger at and sort of deconstructing in a really fun way.
And you get to play very, very mad and very, very sick and very, very dramatic and crazy. Do you like getting to go sort of, you know, be really silly, I guess?
Yeah, it's nuts. But, you know, he also talks about the man's obsession with the cost of the medicine that he's receiving. And I think that is pretty relevant, too. We're having so many problems with who and who cannot afford medicine. But in terms of, getting to be silly, it's pretty crazy. Excuse me, I got a little gas. Wait a minute. Oh, no, I'm kidding. Has that ever happened on NPR?
So when you do a show like this, you dedicate so much energy to it for such a short period of time, but a relatively short period of time. What do you take away from it? What do you hope the audience takes away from it?
I hope that they are just really entertained. That's the main thing, is that they have a great time. And I take away the joy of being able to, you know, furnish some of that, and the gratitude of having participated in something like this. And then I take away friendships and memories and hopefully a little growth as an actor.
Who else is in the cast?
Zach Booth, Preston Sadler, Mark Junick, Danny Binstock, Damian Young, Henry Vick, and Kevin Cahoon.
And you, up here at Bard, it's not a stage reading, it's fully produced with an incredible set, lights, and costume. Tell us about the creative team you're working with.
Well, the set is by Laura Jelnick, and the costumes are Andrea Lauer, and the lights are David Wiener. And I think it's a pretty unique use of the space and full period costumes, so it's pretty exciting to look at.
How is the use of the space unique?
Well, Molière first performed professionally on a tennis court, so we had this idea to, that was our starting place for the design of the show. And we're using the traverse, so there's audience on two sides, which is a fun, kind of interesting, different way to look at it. And then we also have an upstairs, downstairs. So as you look at the set, you can kind of see what's going on below the scene that's actually being played. And then the costumes are sort of 1673 French.
And the lights are now theater lights, current theater lights. Yes. Otherwise, it would be dark.
They used candles.
Yes.
And they'd empty the theater out after the smoke got so thick. And they'd fan out the theater, and then they'd let them back in again when it was clear.
I can't wait to come see the show. I'm coming on Saturday. Thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Imaginary Invalid runs on Stage 2 at the Richard B. Fisher Center for the Performing Arts at Bard College in Annandale-on-Hudson, New York, as part of Bard Summerscape 2012, beginning this Friday, July 13th at 8 p.m. Our guests have been director Erica Schmidt and actors Ethan Phillips and Peter Dinklage. Visit fishercenter.bard.edu for tickets and showtime information, or call the Fisher Center box office. It's open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The number is 845-758-7900. The website again, fishercenter.bard.edu. Box office phone number, 845-758-7900. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.